Get your exterior painting to-dos done easily with Dutch Boy Pristine Exterior Paint. With its rain-rinse technology, rain naturally washes away dirt and grime. Plus, it resists cracking and peeling, making it perfect to withstand the harshest weather conditions. Save big money on Pristine Exterior Paint and start your painting project today. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Football, eh? Bloody hell. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Pinken Channels, Facebook, YouTube, and X. Your eyes, your ears have not deceived you in the last hour. We are live reacting to the news that Norwich City midfielder Marcelino Nunez is set to join arch rivals Ipswich Town, a deal worth £10 million, 7.5 of that initially, £2.5 million in achievable add-ons. We will map out how this has happened. How we've got to this stage. I can see the comments flooding in already. It is quite simply breathtaking news. I've had to sprint back from my dog walk, so if there's sweat on my face, you'll have to apologise. I'm not in my usual backdrop. I've had to steal someone else's desk at home, so all hell has broken loose here, but you're not interested in that. Paddy, what on earth has happened here?
The best comment I've seen is, are we missing Corey tonight, lads? I don't watch it. Maybe you two do, so maybe that is a blow. But I've had to get a beer. I know you boys don't drink. I've had to get a beer just to steady my nerves.
Just to caveat, I've not eaten this whole packet. There was about five left, but I've had to wolf them down just for a bit of sugar rush as well at this time of night.
Yeah, no, I'm trying to think. I've been doing it a bit longer than you boys, but this does feel like, I've put a nuclear explosion gif into our... Teams chat. I mean, you boys were getting a sense maybe an hour or so back that something was happening. We obviously do what we always do, try to do anyway, and get it checked out with the club. And I think just on top of John Percy's tweet, you know, we've spoken at length to people who know exactly what's happening from inside that football club, and the detail that we've communicated now on social, Sam's put the piece up. Yes, that is our understanding. As we convene here, he is... dare one say it, closing in on a move to Ipswich Town. He's already in Suffolk for his medical tonight, so that could accelerate pretty quickly from here. And as we've tried to infer, you know, the messaging we have got is that this is Marcelino Nunez and his camp who have pushed for this and brought this actual interest to the table. It's not Norwich have gone, heaven forbid, knocking at Ipswich's door. Do you want to buy, probably for me, our most creative midfielder? No, this is... The momentum in this has come from the Chileans' side. I've already seen some of Corey comments aside, some of the comments about, you know, his what his standing will now be amongst a fan base used to adore him. And, you know, that, as my wife, who doesn't really know too much about football, has said, that derby is going to be a bit of a spicy affair. I think it's October the 5th, Portman Road. I think I'm right in saying, correct me if I'm wrong, the last goal scorer, the last match winner in an East Anglian derby, now lining up for the blue half of East Anglia. You couldn't write it. You could not write the script. But once Norwich were presented with that proposal, I think the way it's been told to us is you're not getting him for a song. You're going to have to come up with a deal that maybe reflects the trade and what it means to the fan base, because it's their arch rivals. And to be giving them, again, for me, their best creative midfielder, you're going to have to pay a pretty penny for a player who now is 10 months out from end of his contract. But of course, come January, he could negotiate with other clubs, overseas clubs. He could go on a free next summer. So Ipswich have clearly decided that they're going to pay through the nose. And those figures are, as we understand it, 7.5 up front, 2.5 in achievable add-ons for a player with 10 months left. Norwich have tried and failed to get him on a new deal. Conversations last season. They continued in the summer. A flat refusal from the Nunes camp, as we're led to believe. So, you know, he's obviously made his mind up. He wanted out. But even so, to pick Ipswich Town as your next port of call is, well, can you remember anything that is, I mean, there's obviously the precedence with the Andy Marshalls and what have you.
But this tops Marshall, doesn't it?
The threads that you pull together, I cannot think that there will be a more seismic move between these two clubs in the history of these two clubs. So not done and dusted, but on the cusp of, and we've not even got into Pella Mattsson coming the other way, but I sense in this next however long we're on for, there won't be too much talk about Pella Mattsson, and we'll park that maybe for another day, because this is all about reacting to, a quite stunning piece of news, but news that is soon going to be Marcelinho Nunes holding up a blue shirt, holding up a blue scarf and pledging his allegiance to Ipswich Town. Who thought we'd be uttering those words before about, I don't know, whatever time it was we had the conversation with the people who know at the football club. But that is the state of play. And barring a dramatic late turn of events, Marcelinho Nunes has played his last game for Norwich. And when he recovers from his latest injury, will be then at the behest of Ipswich Town.
Yes, you mentioned his name there. This only really feels akin to the Andy Marshall saga. I must confess, that's a little bit before me, but obviously you understand with time, with history, the impact of that. Maybe people who are in that situation are able to comment and reply now, but this feels probably more seismic and bigger than that one, given the nature of the fact that Andy Marshall went for free, didn't he? And that was the contract running down. It's a really difficult one, Sam, because Paddy outlined it there. You look at the numbers for somebody who's got 10 months left on his contract, who isn't going to sign a new deal. It represents good money. I don't think anyone would disagree with the figures. If it was any other club, I think we'd all be going, wow, haven't Norwich City done well to get that figure? The problem is it's not any other club. And I think you can see the reaction in the comments. A lot of feeling that maybe Norwich shouldn't have done this deal, shouldn't have entertained this deal. What are your thoughts and feelings tonight as this news begins to sink in? I don't know if it's just me, but I can't hear Sam here. No. So I'm hoping,
I can't hear you, Sam.
Okay,
I
was sort of waiting to see if it was my lag, but hopefully we can get we'll get Sam back in a moment. But I guess, Paddy, just to pick up on that point, this is the element, isn't it? It's not the money, it's not the deal. In many ways, it's bigger than that. Go on, Sam. Go on.
You take it on. Apologies for that. That was the accidentally pressed the button on the microphone. Classic. I was saying, first of all, that we've forgotten all about Ghassan Ahadmi, the real Judas, as it was, from Norwich City to Ipswich Town. I think to your point in terms of the situation that Norwich were in, it's a really difficult one because, you know, from what we're led to believe, the valuation before Ipswich came and slapped a £10 million package on the table was around sort of 2 million, 3 million. I think even earlier on in the summer, we were speaking to people who were saying that maybe if they got back what they paid for him, which was, I think, around 3.5 million from Universidad Católica in 2022, then that would have been a pretty good deal for them. Then somebody slaps a package on the table worth, nearly four times as much as that, obviously £7.5 million guaranteed. And I can understand from a financial point of view, especially when you think about the model that they want, the fact that they want to sort of buy low and sell high. I don't think they thought they would be able to do that with Marcelino Nunez with 10 months left of his deal. I can understand why Ben Napper, as a sporting director, particularly one based in sort of data and analytics, could look at that and feel like it was an irresistible deal. But at this moment in time, particularly, it feels like it's really bad timing for them, isn't it? I think we were speaking just before we went live about the fact that obviously the mood isn't particularly good right now, when we can talk about the merits or not of that this early on in the season. But I don't think anybody who's been inside Carrow Road for that doubleheader against Middlesbrough and Southampton could say that it wasn't a really negative mood among the fans at the moment. And then just as it felt like things couldn't be that much lower in, what is it now, going into the fourth championship game of the season, they find a way to really, really... take that a step further and really upset fans. And it's kind of it's a difficult situation, because there's also the element, as was pointed out to us, of what happens once you reject that offer. I think it sounds like Nunez and his people, particularly given the fact that they rejected two contract offers this summer and then last season, they really were set on this move. And I think as soon as they heard about this bid, they were very keen to make it happen. So then if you reject it, what sort of mood does it create? And also, if that had come out in a couple of months that Norwich had a player in their midfield who had been desperate to join Ipswich a couple of months ago, I think most people would be saying you should have sold him for any price, let alone sort of £10 million. But ultimately, I think a large chunk of that fee probably comes from the damage to the mood. And I think now going into Blackburn, the feeling for those fans travelling and those watching from home, it'll be on the floor after, a couple of defeats, and now a move that I don't think anybody would have been expecting. So it'll be interesting to see kind of how long this lasts, because inevitably people will move on from it. But like Paddy was saying, I'm not sure there's been as seismic a departure for, well, certainly that I can remember really, but certainly for a long, long time, there hasn't been anything this big. So I wonder how long it'll impact the mood for. I don't think it's good timing for Norwich, but equally it's an enormous amount for a player who's never played above championship level and is in the final year of his contract. It's just weighing up whether that's worth the damage that it's probably done to the mood of the fan base at this moment in time, when they really want to get them in behind them and improve that atmosphere.
It is, and this is the point, Paddy, because we can sit here and we can talk about the deal and for a player with 10 months left, and actually, as I said, we'd all agree if it wasn't Ipswich Town as the club that it's a good money. But I think you can see the strength of feeling in the comments, the people watching from home, people who, maybe are watching this who aren't involved in this Norfolk Suffolk Norwich Ipswich rivalry. One element is that you do not sell your best players to Ipswich Town, and £7.5 million, £10 million. Norwich don't need the money. They've been very clear on that in terms of where they're at under new ownership and where they are. What's your view? Does the money feel worth what this is going to do to a fan base that, as Sam has outlined, they're already in a very difficult spot after a slow start to the season?
Yeah, well, I mean, I've never seen the volume of comments we're getting through on this, and I'm almost, while I'm like listening to you, Connor, I'm more interested in seeing and trying to get a sense of the tone. And it is very much, a lot of it is don't take a penny from Ipswich. Why would you set, let alone your best creative player? And of course you can see that.
I think just to jump in, I mean, we spoke about the Andy Marshall thing, a little while ago. And of course he went to Ipswich. We all know how that played out. I spoke to him a couple of weeks ago, because not about that, but about something completely different. And, if Marcelino Nunez runs down his contract and then joins Ipswich, well, that's all on him then, isn't it? There's nothing the club could do. He turned down the contract offer. And I understand, again, that they've tried to do that. But to actively sell him and to actively go there with a team that you know, every Norwich fan, I think, or the vast majority of Norwich fans would say, you do not deal with them, you do not sell to them, let alone one of your best players. Yeah. Is that worth what it's going to do? And you can see the reaction in terms of initially and that initial emotion. Is that worth the damage that it's going to cause?
Well, I mean, you're asking me questions that at the moment are purely hypothetical in terms of the answers because we don't know. Let's fast forward to May and look back, and then you can definitively say that was an absolutely crazy decision, or not, as the case may be. So any of those type of questions, I just think sat here now reacting to this news, it's impossible to say. Nobody has a crystal ball, do they? He might go there and rip it up and be the key figure in them bouncing back at the first attempt and then goes on into the Premier League with Ipswich, or, you know, a player who's had plenty of interludes on the subs bench or fitness injury missing, that pattern continues and he's a bit of a bit part player. And, you know, Ipswich haven't pulled up any trees at the start of this season, it's safe to say, respective of Norwich and how patchy their start has been. So no guarantees that this move works for them in terms of what they feel clearly by committing this sort of sum to a player with 10 months. I mean, that's, for me, almost desperate from Ipswich to look at a player and feel, you know, 10 months out that he's a £10 million player. I personally, and we've said this already, you know, if it wasn't Ipswich, if it was any other club, you would say that is, again, as is the narrative we've seen often with Napa, last summer, Adam Eder, Johnny Rowe, Gabby Zara, sorry, that was, yeah, but, and then obviously even Abu Kamara, that what a piece of business Ben Napa's pulled off. And if this wasn't Ipswich as the end point, that narrative would continue. You would not find any arguments that £10 million for Marcelinho Nunes is unbelievable.
Can I interject, Paddy, just because I'm going to flash up a comment which I wouldn't ordinarily do with this language, but it is from somebody who does know, and this is Onel Hernandez, and this is his view. I'm not going to read it out clearly because it's got words in it we wouldn't repeat. So move it to Ipswich. But I think that is a point that Onel is making. He has played for Norwich City. He's played in the East Anglian derby. I'm sure there'll be other people who feel similar. Yeah, that last line feels maybe the point that I was trying to make. If you're a fan perspective, this is just something you do not do, isn't it?
Absolutely, yeah. And you cannot dispute that from the volume of Onel is effectively representing the majority view, overwhelmingly the majority view of the Norwich fans who are on here tonight. They cannot countenance, irrespective of whether it's 10 million, 100 million, whatever, selling Marcelinho Nunes of all players to Ipswich, because you're strengthening them for me and you're weakening Norwich, because I've also seen the point, Pelle Mattsson isn't a replacement for Marcelinho Nunes. They haven't got another Marcelinho Nunes in this team, and that's been graphically illustrated at the start of this season. So what is the strategy? And they're going to have to come out now and they're going to have to message quite clearly, what is the strategy? Is it just to bank 10 million and then go in a different direction in terms of the midfield profile? Because I think we've all seen in these first 4 or 5 games, while accepting, you know, what Liam Manning has said about it, it's a work in progress, it will come good. But there's been a lot of disjointed, stodgy football for me. And in Nunes, you have a player who offers that creativity. For me, I said it on the podcast last weekend, 2 best 45s this season, Portsmouth first half, Watford first half, Marcelinho Nunes ran the show in both of those 45s for me. That's how important he is to this team. You take him away, part of the Ipswich dimension, just take him out of here, you're weakening Norwich's midfield for me dramatically. So they're going to have to be very clear in the messaging, irrespective of, in terms of the balance sheet, 10 million for a player with 10 months left. Yep, nobody disputes that. But it's not just about the money, is it? These fans here, it's the emotional pull. Onel, it's the emotional pull. It's what it means if you're green and yellow to see a player of his caliber at this level, when fit, when available, depart for Ipswich of all destinations. It just, as we say, you know, it feels like a nuclear option. So, you know, but to go back to what I've just said at the start of this answer, nobody can definitively say this is the right move, the wrong move, until we get to the end of the season, and then we'll see. We'll stack it up, the debit and the negative and the positive side of it. But there's absolutely no doubt. I don't think I think we took a poll of all these Norwich fans who are piling in tonight, and you can see the comments firing through. Onel represents the majority view, the overwhelming majority view is, don't care how much you're getting in the bank, Ben Napa, this is the wrong call.
And that is where it's at, Sam, I think, just to pick up on that point, because again, ultimately we talk so much in this game about money and deals and how things can look good or bad on paper, or, you know, what the spreadsheet looks like and net spends and all of this type of stuff. And isn't that a good bit of business? Isn't that a bad bit of business? But actually, as Paddy has perfectly summed up there, purely on a PR perspective on where the club is at, we've mapped out, everyone knows where they are, free Carrow Road defeats, they lost last night. It's I don't know. Is it bold? Is it crazy? Is it stupid? Is it all of those things? Because as you can see, and I've never seen the numbers that we've got here tonight, watching us speak about this, the level of comments, the strength of feeling that we've got on, when you've got ex players jumping onto to this broadcast to communicate their thoughts as well, that maybe indicates it. This is the point for me. Is it worth the money that they're getting? And I think it's very difficult to argue that it is, given as well, if we look at it from a football perspective, this is, and I've seen the point raised by a few Norwich fans who feel this is weakening Norwich City and strengthening Ipswich Town.
Yeah, I agree. I think he's been probably one of their top three players so far this season. Obviously, there are the injury issues, but you look at some of the other midfielders they've got, and I think Pelle Mattsson is going to have to be a lot more creative than he's looked for.
Poor Pelle Mattsson, by the way. The lad could be Pirlo, but honestly.
Yeah. Well, this is a problem. I think when you were kind of hearing a bit more about Nunez, I was more on the Mattsson side. And I remember thinking at that time, oh, that's quite a decent story. That's quite exciting. And how he's paled into insignificance at this moment in time. So yeah, you've got a feel for him a little bit, but in terms of what he offers sort of on the pitch, you look at him, Mirko Topic, Kenny McLean, probably Liam Gibbs now is their best four midfield options. Obviously a couple of other ones around the fringes. I think you add them all together and I'm not sure you get as much creativity as Nunez offered. So yeah, certainly for me on the pitch, they've weakened themselves to make Ipswich stronger. And then in terms of whether it's worth the sort of PR fallout that comes from a deal like this, I think you have to look at the context. And I think it would still certainly have been a debate in sort of the Dealer Smith era, when Norwich didn't have so much money and they were kind of self-funded and they had to do things that way. But now that money isn't really too much of an object, unless they're close to sort of PSR, you know, bands, and they're worried that they're getting a little bit close to that and they want a little bit more room for manoeuvre in terms of, you know, the finances of it. 4-5 million from the initial fee, more than they were initially expecting to get for Nunez. I'm not sure what that really means in the context of the sort of fees that they can spend now under Attanasio. I think it's, you know, it's kind of financially it's not really here nor there, which feels really strange to say from a Norwich City perspective. But if there's one thing Attanasio and his group have made clear since they became the majority shareholders, it's that the finances aren't an issue, that PSR is actually more of a restriction to what they can do in terms of transfers than actual cash. So, you know, maybe the accounts will come out in a year's time. We'll realise that actually this sale was, I'm not expecting this, by the way, but for example, we could realise that this sale was the difference between getting a points deduction and not. But when you look at what they've done previously, that feels unlikely. And financially, they probably don't need the money too much. So really what they're doing it for is the model, is for executing the strategy that they want to execute. And, you know, from the number of times we heard Johannes Hoftorp say it last season, we know how important it is to them to stick to that strategy. But yeah, this doesn't really feel like the way to do it. And it's one of those things, it's kind of a personal thing as to how you weigh it up. And I'm sure, even though it's looking like the large minority or small minority, there will be a few fans out there going, and I've actually seen a couple of comments saying, you know, 10 million quid is 10 million quid. But just from the response that we've had to this video, from what I'm seeing on social media, the response to the article that I've put out, it doesn't feel maybe like it's worth it when you look at these sorts of numbers. But ultimately, it will also come down to how Nunez performs on the pitch, how Norwich perform on the pitch. If he's terrible at Ipswich and Norwich have a brilliant midfield all season long, then I'm sure that shifts the dynamic of this deal a lot when it's looked back upon in a few months. But that kind of comes back to my first point, and that's that I don't think Norwich have the creativity in that midfield from anywhere. I think they've got probably Kenny McLean is the most creative midfielder they've got, and not to diminish the role that he can play, but I think if you'd have told us that a year ago, then we would have been shocked at the almost mechanical nature of the midfield that they will have assembled. So yeah, let's hope Pelle Mattsson does have some skills that maybe he hasn't shown so much of so far in his career, because otherwise, and this is a significant part of it that probably will be overlooked a little bit because of the drama of it, I think they're losing a really key player who offers them something that not really anyone else can.
Yeah, and the other one would be Sargent, wouldn't it? That's the kind of footballing level where we're at. It was always those two, probably Sargent way up here and Nunez down here. But even so, if we were to grade the top two, that's where it would be. And I guess, Paddy, as well, as Sam alluded to right at the start, it's context as well. It's timing. It's where Norwich City find themselves at the moment. They've had a slow start to the season. There's pressure. There's question marks around systems, about performances, about results, about the players that they've signed. This doesn't help, does it, in terms of amping up that level of pressure and amping up that level of scrutiny? Because, yeah, we can, as I've said a few times, we can talk about the financials and the money involved. Will 7.5 million, 10 million change the trajectory of Norwich City Football Club? Probably not. Will the mood be damaged to such an extent? Look, who knows? Maybe it won't be. As Sam mapped out, maybe there's a world where this doesn't quite go as Nunez would like and it goes better for Norwich and Mattsson is, you know, the second coming of Xavi and all is well in the world. But, you know, at the moment, because of the emotion, because of where things stand, it's about context as much as where it is and who it is and probably very at the bottom what it's for.
Yeah, I mean, there was one comment that encapsulates it all for me, and I don't know who it was attributed to, but it was basically along the lines of, I support a football club, I don't support a bank balance. So clearly, I think the strength of feeling on here tonight suggests that majority of Norwich fans have no interest in being told that this is a great deal. And
it doesn't matter, does it? Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Zero interest in that. Mm. So you flip that to your point. Does taking him out of that equation make an already very patchy start under Liam Manning the prospects of that improve? Not for me in the short term. So, and you would think, I mean, that's an interesting point. I mean, clearly Ben Napper is getting a lot of heat on here tonight, but I can't think for a minute that Liam Manning has basically had no input into this at all, and that from underneath him he's had Marcelino Nunez removed. I would imagine he would have had some input into this seemingly agreement to release the player. So does that hint at, you know, in terms of what he's trying to do in terms of the midfield and the mix and the balance and the blend, you know, he wants to take it in a slightly different direction? And, you know, I said to you, you know, if it was Mattsson coming in, you've got Topic in the building, you could see almost some parallels for me there with Knight and Bird, which was his two in the middle of the park at Bristol City last season. A bit more functional, a bit play more in terms of percentages rather than, you know, with Nunez, he has that ability just to off the cuff almost, you know, produce a moment of magic or, you know, the range of passing that he possesses. So is that where we're going with that? But again, you know, so much of this is into the future now and extrapolating from this decision, what is in the minds of Napa, Liam Manning, his coaching staff, and above, you know, Ben Napa as well in terms of the board's decision, because they would have ultimately have to sanction this or at least back Ben Napa's judgment that this is the right call. So, yeah, it's the timing is horrendous, absolutely horrendous, because, you know, if Norwich have, I don't know, done Middlesbrough levels of start to the season and Nunez has had a bit part role in that, there'll still be this strength of feeling, I'm sure, but I don't think it'd be quite as amplified, because the feeling must be now that you take him out of the equation and you're bringing in maybe a player who doesn't necessarily seemingly offer what he would offer into a midfield, which has already looked a bit fractured and a bit disjointed to me and not quite, certainly in possession, good enough really to break down the teams that played so far. What does that mean moving forward? You know, so many questions left unanswered by this decision, and they will only will be answered in the fullness of time, really. And we'll see whether this turns out to be, you know, maybe a decision that defines Ben Napper's tenure or not, as the case may be, because you have to say he's already on the back foot, and he had not acknowledged that when we spoke to him, you know, the first time in the summer post the Torrop decision. That was a decision he made after appointing a manager he wanted and coveted for some time. So that's a question on his judgment, and he accepted that. So this, again, you can frame it in similar terms. This is now a question of his judgment. Has he made the right call or not? And obviously, for most Norwich fans on here tonight, he's made the wrong call. But, you know, it's still, I mean, Hooks, I've just been following him on social media, and he's, I think he's beside himself as well. He might be reaching for the ale tonight as well, because it is just one of those heads gone moments. Am I hearing that right? Am I reading that right?
There's also, I think Darren Eady has summed it up quite nice. Again, I can't repeat the tweet, but you can go and read it. I think he summed it up quite nicely in terms of the reaction to that news. And again, just to bounce back, I mean, Ben Lee, who writes a column for us, just to bring you a little bit more reaction to this, has tweeted, a football club is more than just a business. Those working for the club have a duty to understand that and to consider fans when making decisions, which I guess, Paddy, probably underscores the point of this conversation that we've been having for the last half an hour or so.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you know, these fans don't want to hear, you know, about it. It'll make good financial sense, and you know, it improves the position on the balance sheet. I mean, that's not why you support Norwich or any football club for that matter. It's in your blood. It's passed down through your family. That I'll use my words advisedly, but that sort of enmity towards the blue half of East Anglia is almost inbred in most Norwich fans to varying levels, you know, as long as it's kept to an acceptable level of hostilities, shall we say. And for this now to be a transfer of, for me, I keep repeating it, their best creative midfielder to that team down the road, it, you know, I've seen the point made, you know, do they understand, do the people making these decisions, Ben Napper and the people around him, do they understand the DNA of football in this part of the world and what it means to be Norwich and what it means conversely to be Ipswich? And again, you know, that's a question Ben Napper can only really answer. But, you know, it's this decision isn't going to be seen through the prism of the financial numbers. This is going to be seen through the heart and through the head and through the passion that runs through most of these fans who are on here tonight, of a green and yellow persuasion. And, you know, no amount of talking up the value for a player with 10 months left on his contract is going to take away that hurt and that pain. And obviously, maybe primarily it's directed here at the moment towards Ben Napper, because ultimately he sanctions this move. But, you know, in the fullness of time, I'm sure Nunes himself will know that, you know, he shredded his reputation in these parts, because he has, as we're led to believe, pushed for this deal. You know, he could have turned round, as I'm sure the Huckabees and the Edies of yesteryear, if this had ever come to pass, you know what the answer would have been. Yeah, on hell, yeah. You know what the answer would have been. He didn't have to embrace that. He didn't have to encourage it. He didn't have to go down this path. So Marcelino Nunes is a complicit actor in this as well. Let's not forget that. So it's just, it's unfortunately... It's a piece of business that is going to have huge ramifications on potentially the trajectory of these two clubs this season. And you hope, against hope from a Norwich perspective, that this doesn't derail anything and that it doesn't prove in the fullness of time to be fool's gold, really, because, you know, we've been told the summer outlay to this point has reinforced that. Liam Manning's arrival, that this club are going hell for leather for the top six. How you do that when you lose Marcelino Nunes, I'm not too sure.
Completely agree. And I think, Sam, actually, Paddy mentioned it there. I was going to come on to this. This is going to be my next point, because we focused on the decision itself, the money, the we touched upon the footballing reasons. We'll come to that a little bit in a moment. But Marcelino Nunes as well. I think sometimes, you know, and particularly when players come from overseas, as he has done, and such a far away part from the world as well, and maybe they haven't come into contact with the derby, or they don't really have that understanding of the rivalry. Not it's acceptable, because once you join a club, that you should be aware of that. but you could maybe understand it, or there would at least be a little bit more mitigation. This is somebody who's played in derbies, scored the winner in the most recent derby. We all saw the celebration, understood what that meant and the context of that situation, celebrated with the team, to then push through a move to Ipswich is, well, it's terminal, isn't it, for his relationship with Norwich City Football Club and, most importantly, its fan base.
Well, how bad and out of date do those pictures of him holding the badge on Derby Day immediately look as soon as this news comes out? And it's kind of surprising, because even though, obviously, we haven't had the chance to speak too much to him, he doesn't really, it seems, understand English particularly well. There was, it seemed to me at least, quite a significant bond between him and the fans. I think in an age where maybe some footballers are getting the personality taken away from them at times, I think having people like him in the squad is valuable to fans. And certainly I got the sense of that value to Norwich fans. And then, yeah, to have this situation happen, I think that probably adds to it a little bit. I think if it was a player who maybe the fans didn't feel particularly enamoured with and hadn't had a close relationship with, weren't such big fans of, maybe they wouldn't be particularly bothered by it, or they wouldn't be maybe as bothered by it. I think it, in a way, it kind of, and this comes back a little bit to the point of it being about football and being about fans rather than being just about a bank balance and things like that. It kind of sadly brings into reality how football is just a career for a lot of people. And, you know, ultimately that's fine. And I'm sure, you know, if we were all footballers, I don't think any of us would move from Norwich to Ipswich, but if we were all footballers, I'm sure we'd put our careers before most things as well. But it kind of, yeah, it removes that illusion that, you know, fans and players are always in it together, and, you know, that bond is permanent, and it's all that players are thinking about, because ultimately, as Paddy outlined, this was a move that Nunez pushed for. It's not just from the Norwich end where they've gone £10 million, thank you very much, Nunez, off you go. That's a lovely sum. It was a move that actually him and his representatives pushed for. They rejected two contract offers. So certainly, you know, for fans looking for someone to blame, I think probably they have a few potential culprits, but Nunez is maybe one of them. And yeah, like I said, you know, it's ultimately his career, but any illusion of, you know, the badge thumping emotion of that Derby Day win a couple of years ago has immediately gone out of the window. I think it will probably end up being the least favourably looked upon Derby win of that 16-year unbeaten streak that they've got going. And I'm sure it leaves a sour taste in the mouth, because this for a long time has been a rivalry that Norwich and Norwich fans have been used to dominating, have enjoyed a little bit. And now this is something, you know, let's not get it wrong, this is almost a source of humiliation for those Norwich fans who now, every time they have a debate with an Ipswich fan, every time they see someone in an Ipswich shirt on holiday, or, you know, every Derby Day, they'll mention Marcelino Nunez and how he chose Ipswich over Norwich City. So, yeah, I think for that to happen, when there did seem to be that bond between the player and the club, it's quite sad. But it's interesting what Onel says there. Was Onel kind of suggesting that maybe Nunez wouldn't have pushed for the move? Because what
that's what Onel has said. You know, he's as ever, he's more than welcome to come and join us if he so wishes. We wouldn't turn that down. If he wants to join us, the invitation is there. But that obviously Onel knows Marcelino a lot better than any of us do. That's obviously his view on it. And yeah, sorry, carry on, Sam, but I thought I'd flash that up.
No, I think that was, I was pretty much there, but yeah, it just kind of, for me, that makes it extra sad when you look back on the relationship that it seemed he had with the fans, and particularly that, you know, that badge thumping moment on Derby Day a couple of years ago. Unfortunately, now that will become an infamous moment in Norwich City's history rather than the positive one that it has been for the last, 16 months or something like that.
Paddy, look, East Anglian derbies are always spicy. They always contain bite and they're extra. I think anyone, I remember the first time I went to one and the whole feeling around it is different. The energy around it is different. What it means is different. As we've said, Marcelino Nunez has played in it. He scored in it. He's been the match winner on Derby Day. With everything that comes with that, he understands it. That return to Carrow Road in, when is it, April, March time is, that's going to be quite something. If you look at how bad Andy Marshall had it, he's going to have to buckle up, isn't he?
Yeah, exactly, yeah. I mean, on Elwell's his view, but ultimately, that lad doesn't want to go to Ipswich. This deal isn't happening. That's the top and bottom of it. So, you know, whether he pushed for it or not, he's in Ipswich, he's in Suffolk tonight for a medical, so... Unless he's been driven at the point of a gun, then you know, that tells me that he is receptive to the idea. So
yeah,
make of that what you will. But and as a result, once we get past the sort of the focus on Ben Napper and Norwich City as a hierarchy in the decision they've made, then it will, particularly when it swings back round to, well, October 1st, clearly Portman Road. But yeah, the Carrow Road game. And for me as well, can you imagine if he actually does anything of a meaningful note in either of those two games? I mean, it'll be, I don't even want to countenance that you know, he pops up on the blue half and decides a derby, because that would be, this feels a bit like a meltdown. I don't know what that would turn into as well, but that's the scenarios that will play out from here. And then anything he does of a positive nature in a blue shirt, you know, if it pushes Ipswich back towards what their aim for clearly is to get back at the first attempt, then again, that's every action of a positive nature that he aids Ipswich this season is going to be like a dagger, really, for a lot of Norwich fans. And that's why you just hope that as a club, they're fully embrace that is the case, and they're fully aware of that. And that is obviously out of their control. What is in their control is that Liam Manning and this group of players and this football club need to get things going. Because if they go on a different trajectory to Ipswich, then this decision will come back to haunt them. Absolutely no doubt about it.
And just to bounce it back to you, Paddy, I think one sort of layer we haven't mentioned here clearly is ownership and Mark Attanasio and his group, who, you know, would have, as you said earlier, would have sanctioned this. We know the way that it's worked typically. Ben Napper has come to them, he's presented a decision and they've essentially ticked it or backed it or said yes or no. We had Mark Attanasio on the podcast in the summer and he kind of said there's nothing that we've said no to yet. Is this something they should have said no to?
As Mark himself outlined, if they want to back the sporting director, I mean, he made it quite clear on that podcast. He was very integral to that original appointment of Ben Napper. And, you know, so if you trust that guy and you think he's the guy to drive you forward in a footballing sense, and as they've made no bones about, you know, they don't come armed with a huge knowledge of the English game or the Championship or Norwich City within that ecosystem. You know, they don't feel maybe informed enough to be making those type of massive strategic decisions. That's why Ben Napper's there. That's why they backed him in that recruitment process post Stuart Webber. So, yes, as he said, I think he said they haven't once done what you suggested there, which was
correct. Yeah,
Ben Napper comes with a suggestion, a proposal, a recommendation, and they've turned it down. So, for me, if that is the case and that's the way that relationship is developed, then Ben Napper comes to them with this, and clearly has indicated he feels it's in the interests of the club to go ahead with it. Then they're being very consistent in terms of how they are their light touch ownership from across the pond. But you know, I'm sure I've already seen. I think Mike is obviously on X, and I think he's being made fully aware tonight of the strength of feeling from what I can tell in my timeline. So they will not be immune to how this is playing out with the fan base. Of that, I am sure. But you know, really, we can go round and round in circles. But this is a call Ben Napper has made as the sporting director of this football club. And Ben Napper will have to, you know, live with this decision. And one hopes, in his view, that it proves it to be the right decision. But even if, you know, if the criteria is you don't do anything with Ipswich, then that position is pretty fixed and no Norwich fan is going to be convinced otherwise. So for me, the only way possibly that he moves forward now, and with those constituency, and you can debate how wide that is or how deep that is that Liam Manning and what's left get something going and get them moving up towards that top six, which was the stated aim. If that doesn't happen off the back of this...
Ah, we've lost Paddy there. We'll endeavour to get him back very quickly. I mean, Sam, I was going to come on to you because, you know, as I said, I think we've mentioned his name once or twice, but 44 minutes in, Pelle Mattsson. I mean, you've got to feel sorry for him. In the context of everything that's happening tonight, of course, and the fact he is looking, and clearly there's a medical and stuff to do before it's officially confirmed. But we're expecting that to be the case if all goes well and all goes to plan. He spoke earlier this summer about how the speculation had affected him, how it had, you know, really, really caught up with him and been difficult for him to get his head around. Paddy, just checking, you've not gone to the EADT, have you, in that time where you dropped off? Oh, we can't, no, we can't hear Paddy, but this is not going well.
See, this is, he's got half his head out the door.
Absolutely. So Sam, I'll pick up the point where I was at while Paddy sort of gets his sound sorted. But Pelle Mattsson, as we said, there were some quotes. He was very publicly speaking about how much this move had, how the speculation had affected him. He is now set to become a Norwich City player. I mean, it's the attention on him now is for nothing that he's done. It's not his fault, but it's going to be the case. He is, I guess similarly, you could compare it to maybe the goalkeeping situation in a very different kind of way, but he is going to be judged on, is he as good, if not better, than Marcelino Nunez? And as Paddy outlined earlier, he looks like a very different calibre of player.
Well, I think it's kind of the theme of the summer, really, isn't it? When you engage in as big a rebuild as they have under Ben Napper, you're kind of testing every signing based on who they've replaced. Obviously, as you mentioned, Kovacevic is a good example of that, coming in for Angus Gunn. It does feel like, for somebody who's never played outside Denmark, came through the Silkeborg setup, like they're sort of big shoes to fill, and there's a big weight of expectation now attached to probably the situation as a whole as much as anything. But it also gives us an insight, I think, into the way that Manning wants to do things, and probably after some criticisms of the formation, you know, rightly or wrongly, there maybe is a feeling that it's not quite proactive enough. And I think replacing Nunez with somebody who was also considered for that defensive midfield position that Mirko Topic now occupies probably doesn't bode well for the amount of creativity and proactivity and attacking sense that comes from that midfield. So probably that fact also adds to the weight of expectation and how much he's going to have to prove. But probably for me, that's a little bit harsh, because I think ultimately, you know, as you said, they are different players. I think comparing or rating Mattsson based on his ability to score free kicks from 30 yards or execute exquisite turns, you know, spray 40-yard passes every time he gets on the ball, I think that's quite harsh, because most of his time at Silkeborg has been about breaking up the play, about making interceptions, being that screen in front of a back four. And that's probably what he's going to be tasked with doing at Norwich. It wouldn't really make sense for them to sell Nunez and then try to get a direct replacement and just stick with, you know, the same player who had been in that defensive midfield position or in that defensive midfield discussion earlier on in the summer. I think for me, this marks a move to even more expectation on those number 10s, in those sort of wide number 10 positions, to create the chances. But then you've got to get players in there who can provide the bridge between defence and those players. And I actually thought Nunez was perfect for that role. I thought he did that really, really well against Watford and Portsmouth before he suffered that injury. And unless Mattsson has some skills, as I said earlier, that we haven't seen before, then I'm not sure he's going to fulfil that quite as well. Now, that doesn't mean that Norwich won't be able to function. It probably means they won't function in quite as exciting a way at times. But yeah, for me, it's harsh to compare him and judge his abilities based on this scenario that has nothing to do with him, really. He hasn't chosen for Nunez to go to Ipswich. But unfortunately, sometimes that's the way that life is, and that's the way that football is. And yeah, I think the expectations do rock it up a little bit when you consider the context in which he's set to arrive.
Yeah, I mean, just to bounce back to you, Sam, clearly you were at the press conference this afternoon. You were speaking to Liam Manning. I know you asked him transfer stuff. And look, it's easy with hindsight to say, oh, yeah, I kind of saw this coming. But
yeah.
Did you get the sense there was something afoot from his words and just the general mood around the place or not at all?
I did a little bit. I think he's rarely completely openly revealing, as we know, in press conferences. But when I said to him, is it all still quiet? I was expecting a very straight bat answer, really, as far as, yep, pretty much all quiet, because that's, you know, those are the answers that all of us have had when we've asked Manning about the transfer situation in the last couple of weeks, really. So then, and I almost had to listen back to it, really, in the situation that press conferences, I think sometimes you have to go back and listen to things to really properly understand them. And I had to kind of go back to actually think about the tone of what he said, because he certainly left the door open far more than he has over the last couple of weeks. And I think in a certain context, you could see it as just a quite well formulated, it's the transfer. I think he said it's the transfer window, basically. I'm paraphrasing here. You can never be sure, things are in flux, type thing. And you could say that a lot of managers would say that when absolutely nothing was going on. But I think his stock answer so far has been even more, it's all quiet, than that so far. So in hindsight, as you said, it's very easy in hindsight to pick out these little things, and we could probably look at all sorts and say that we were cleverly, we could see this coming. But probably when I listened back to the press conference the first time, I actually wrote out his quotes and I properly thought about what he'd said. That was when I thought something might be going on. And then, you know, when you start to hear noises about things happening, I had a little bit of extra confidence that it was going to happen based on what Manning said. Nothing transformative, but you did just get that little extra feeling. And I think, to be fair, it wasn't just me picking up on it from in the room. I think you saw on social media from the live blog that Paddy did from the press conference, people were looking at that and saying, okay, it's not, you know, it's not quite finished. And probably when they saw that, they were hoping for a very different outcome than what eventually came this evening. But yeah, you did kind of get that sense. But yeah, I don't know. What about you guys? When you, obviously you will have seen that or read the quotes. Did it feel like that to you or not?
I mean, I can only speak for myself. It felt like a shift of position a little bit. I mean, we were speaking to people as early as Saturday, as late as Monday, really, who were kind of saying, look, if the window shut tomorrow, I think we'd be happy in terms of the way that their business is done. Clearly, they got a lot of stuff done early, and that has been the aim. They're clearly going to have to add another now to replace Nunez. But yeah, not this. I don't think anyone would have foreseen this before news. And even when, I think it was filtering its way through to us as it has done throughout the evening. I think I spoke to Paddy early, and it was surely not like that. It doesn't, not even comprehensible as an idea, as a theory. But here we are. And Paddy, I hope you sounds all right now, and you're not making a move to Suffolk at all. There were a few people that were asking. No, we still haven't got Paddy on the mic front, which is a shame. Hopefully we'll get him in a moment or two. But Sam, I guess just to bounce it back to you, whilst we try and get Paddy back in terms of his mic, what Norwich City, I guess, cannot afford to do now, and it feels pretty definitive, is Josh Sargent leaving the club. I mean, that would it's just unthinkable now, isn't it, really?
Yeah, it will be interesting, actually, when we speak to the relevant people about that, what they say, because throughout the summer, no matter how many times we say, OK, now's the time to pull that proverbial drawbridge up, which I think you were the first one to make that, to create that metaphor. And it seems to be the universal one being used now as it relates to Josh Sargent. So congratulations on that one. But yeah, I think, I mean, we've asked the question so many times, and it's still always been, no, actually, you know, he's open to the move. And if it was the right price, maybe that right price has gone up and up as the chances of replacing him have got more and more difficult. But up to this point, it's been, you know, fairly consistent that they would do the deal. But we haven't asked that question since this news broke. And certainly this puts an extremely different shine on it. I think now if you sold Sargent, could the fan base really be any lower? Would it be a low point since relegation to League One? And when I say that, it feels extreme. I think it'll always feel extreme in that context. But I would struggle to find a more difficult moment in the mood of Norwich City fans if that did happen. So, yeah, I think the pressure on them to keep him has probably been upped. What effect that has, we'll have to wait and see. But certainly it adds another interesting dimension to the Josh Sargent debate, because I'm not sure, based on what we've seen today, this fan base could take much more.
Paddy, have we got you? No, we haven't. We will maybe go out and come back in and see if that does anything. We'll do our best to get Paddy back before we're through. But Sam, it's just one of those moments. I think that it happens very rarely. I think when you do this job, where something comes through, you hear something, a whisper, and it develops and it rolls and it moves. Where, you know, almost the more you think about it, the more unbelievable it comes. I mean, we're 54 minutes into this. I'm not sure we've solved anything particularly. I've tried to hopefully strike a balance between reflecting how the fans feel and the emotional aspects of it, with clearly the trying to portray maybe what the Norwich aspect and Norwich feeling is as to why this deal has been sanctioned. It's a really interesting one, isn't it, just to how it's all unfolded.
Yeah, and it feels almost surreal now, given how much breaking down we've done of the situation, how much discussion there's been, the words we've written, the urge to push things out on social media. It feels absolutely bizarre that we only really had sort of proper confirmation of this news, what, about an hour and a half ago, maybe slightly longer than that. Because it feels like the plates of the world of Norwich City have moved significantly as a result of this, it feels strange, really, because now ultimately they're going to do all the things that they were going to do anyway. They're going to be training tomorrow. They're going to be, or not, they won't be. They've got a day off tomorrow, so they won't be training tomorrow. But they'll be preparing for Blackburn. They'll be heading to Blackburn. It feels crazy that there's a Championship game now, 2-3 days away, really. I think it's going to be.
Let's be honest. God forbid they lose that, because if they lose that, the 2 weeks that follow, the international break that follows, is going to be hugely uncomfortable for Norwich City.
Well, I was going to ask Liam earlier. I didn't really get the chance because the conversation didn't go there. But
here he is. Hang on, Sam. Let's make sure we've got him back. Please. Paddy, you there?
It's really not worth it, Colin.
Yeah.
Trust me, I won't be adding any more insight. I didn't offer any in the first 50 odd minutes, so you're not missing anything. I don't know what's happened. I had one of those auto updates / Ben Knapp has pulled the hard wire out, I think. So
anyway, I can't remember what the question was that I asked you. It might have been one that I deflected, Sam. I think it was about Josh Sargent, wasn't it? But I guess to follow up on that now, it's got to be an impossibility now, hasn't it, that Norwich even entertain that?
Well, yeah. I mean, I was thinking that earlier in the broadcast. Well, I mean, we kind of felt that last night when we were doing the team news and the US squad announced for upcoming friendlies, he's back in. And you just thought of more so the mechanics of plays against Blackburn, goes off stateside, transfer window in this country obviously closes Monday, 7 p.m. Just how that would play out, you know, medicals and what have you, because as we've discussed on last week's podcast, you know, that deal would be 22 mil plus. That's not something you're doing remotely. So that gave me added confidence. But then off the back of this bombshell news tonight, anybody who's inside that football club who maybe has ventured on here tonight and seen the strength of feeling with this Nunes news, I'm not going outside my house if Sargent gets sold between now and Monday, that is for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what you boys are doing tomorrow night, but I'm hosting a Q&A with Liam Manning, which
that'd be good fun.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. Look, so, and Paddy, maybe I'll get you back on the point that we just raised to Sam, which is, look, there's a game on Saturday for Norwich City. This maybe feels like we're coming into the end of the broadcast now. We've been going for an hour. Thank you to the 14,000 of you that are with us across all channels. And again, hopefully you've been able to have your say and we've hopefully been able to reflect how you are feeling in one way or another. But it suddenly feels like an absolutely monumental game for Norwich, doesn't it? You know, we spoke about mood. There's an international break. If Norwich City lose, if they don't perform, it's going to be a hell of a 2 weeks for those inside the club and that level of noise that we spoke about.
Yeah, you've got your list. You're going to have to rewrite those list of questions for Liam Manning tomorrow night, aren't you?
Well, it's a Q&A, so thankfully, I think I've got 15 minutes at the start, but I feel what it may well end up being is me just opening the floor up to people. So, look, if you are feeling a certain way...
I know it's Canaries Trust event, but just clarify, is that, you know, non-Trust members can turn up and is it a
correct,
pay?
Yeah, go to the Canaries Trust website. I believe tickets are £5. You can come along. Carrow Road tomorrow night. I'm not too... I'll look up the timings while you're answering the next question. But yeah, you can come and join us. And of course, you can put your say to Liam. I already feel a bit sorry for Liam Manning because ultimately he's a head coach and we know how the structure works. I'm sure it wouldn't have been... Look, clearly he would have had a say and given his opinion, but I'm not sure it would have been one where he's gone above and beyond to sanction it. But ultimately, he's going to be the one answering questions about it, right? Because he's the first one that is in that situation. So yeah, you can get yourself along if you want to ask yourself a question. But yeah, Paddy Blackburn, Saturday, blimey.
Yeah, no. Well, I mean, even before this tonight, off the back of two Carrow Road missteps again, following on from Millwall, and the pattern is the same, you know. 7 p.m. There you go. So they needed a result. It felt to avoid that 2 weeks of, you know, debate around I don't know, formations. He's getting very, very. Don't ask him about formations, Connor. I don't think he wants to have any more questions on formations. But
I don't think you'll have to worry about the ones. No, about no. Formations. Right, if I'm honest.
Well, unless it's a formation without Marcelino Nunes, maybe, yeah. But so they needed a result, absolutely, just to stem that not ill feeling, because it's far removed from that. But you know, there was. Certainly that second half, and he was the first to acknowledge it post-match when I spoke to him. Not acceptable, not having that at all. Didn't like the sort of the lack of energy, lack of intensity to what you saw from his team in the second half. So that's the last abiding memory of a Liam Manning Norwich side. If they back that up in the wrong way at Ewood Park pre this Nunes news, then that would have been an uncomfortable fortnight irrespective, and put even more pressure then on, I think it's Coventry away, on the resumption of the international break, which won't be an easy fixture, even though historically they do very well in that game recent years at least. So, but now off the back of this, and you know, keep repeating it, but the feeling, the strength of feeling towards the football club for countenancing this move to those players, club over the border, yeah, if they then turn in a very anemic, stodgy, fitful performance again and fall the wrong side in terms of the result, then it just adds to this sense of feeling that, you know, it's a bit of a mess, let's be honest. And they would push back hard on that, and Liam Manning has. And I take a lot of what he's putting out there as, you know, I take that at face value, that it is very early. There needs to be realism. You know, you can't start adopting fixed positions 4 or 5 games into something which he clearly feels is going to take a period of time to develop. All of that is true, but in the here and now, you layer on the fact that it has been poor in many respects. Okay, some decent periods within games, but nowhere near enough over the body of 5 games for me. And now you add this news in tonight. It just puts them further on the back foot for me. And they must know that. They must be fully aware that this Saturday now takes on huge significance within the sense of where this season could go from here. You know, we know what they're hoping to achieve, but, you know, the start has punctured some of that optimism, that's fair to say, I think. And now seemingly going to lose their most creative midfielder. And it doesn't look at this stage as if they're going to replace like for like. they have to shift. For me, it's partly about what happens at Blackburn, but and maybe starting tomorrow night, the messaging now. You know, Ben Napper, he's coming in for a lot of flack on here tonight, but I think you'd agree, in the summer, he did get out there. He went on the front foot. Yep, he justified his decisions. He said it wasn't good enough. He said they were going to do something about it. And that transfer window hitherto, up until this point at least, has been of a club who were very proactive and were serious about doing something about it. But all of that, I'm afraid, is now in serious jeopardy, because if they don't message what the thinking is here, why are they taking this decision? What's the footballing reasoning as much as the financial? We can all see what the financial reasoning is. Mm. What's the footballing decision here? Is it you're effectively saying Nunes in a Manning setup wasn't the type of midfield profile he was looking for? And if that's the case, then at least there's a reason there behind it, a logic behind it. But then, of course, they have to back that up by finding players who are the type of midfield profile he's looking for. And I'll go back to the earlier point. You look at his two for Bristol, Bird and Knight, much more akin to a Topic and Matson for me than a Nunes. And I think it's reasonable.
Sorry, jump in. And not to push back on your point, I'm saying, you know, I can almost feel the comments coming here. But, you know, from you look at the five, six halves of football that Norwich have played, the two best ones have been with Marcelino Nunez in. So I think even that as a reason would be, you know, there would be some pushback to an extent on that, not to dispute kind of what you're saying.
No. Well, I mean, I made that point, didn't I, earlier?
Absolutely,
on.
Yeah.
I absolutely agree. And which I guess is why it's almost, again, it flows back into where Liam Manning has been in his sort of public pronouncements this past week or so, which is, look past this period, as uncomfortable as it is, these learning experiences he's talking about and reprogramming almost the players that were being asked to do different things to what he wants these players to do now. He's almost looking over the horizon, and maybe this decision is within that context, but that's fine. But that's a leap of faith for a lot of fans on the evidence, a small sample so far, that it will be honey tomorrow or jam tomorrow, you know, because the evidence at the moment is, you take Nunes out, it's almost akin to you take Sargent out of that forward line. What on earth are they left with? Maybe not to as a marked degree, but given he is quite unique in terms of the midfield profile they've got at the moment, it does feel on that path. What are you left with in terms of your central midfield mix without Marcelino Nunes? So, again, to repeat what I've just said in this answer, it comes back to the messaging now. Whether it's Liam Manning, whether the club above him need to get on the front foot and message, maybe after the end of the window, that would seem logical. You know, what are the steps that have led them to this decision, to that football team? And until we hear that, then, you know, we can only surmise in the gap between, you know, Ben Napper coming out and saying this is the reason and what we think the logic is and the thought process. But, you know, it just... I guess at this point in the piece, when it's so raw and the emotions are so high, you know, they're probably best keeping their counsel, because anything he comes out with in the next day or two is probably not going to be well received, is it? But certainly post window, who are we to advise them on and anything to do with comms or strategy? But I think if they were, as I say, anybody taking a look at the comments and the strength of feeling here amongst the Norwich fan base, it would be in their interest, I think, to probably consider post-window closing Monday to get on the front foot and get the messaging out there. And of course, that won't appease maybe a lot of Norwich fans, but like back in the earlier in the summer, at least, you know, if you were pro Thorup, at least you got an explanation and a reasoning why that decision ended up as it did. And it will be likewise again with Nunes for me.
Yeah, we're going to be live for 5 minutes or so. Again, apologies. I would have loved to have got into loads of questions and comments, but if you see the screen, it's been like that all the time. It's been really hard to pin down. We tried to pin down as many as we've been able to. So, Sam, let's start with you. And I guess one not saving grace, because you know, clearly the Norwich fans, I'm sure, will want to have their voices heard and should have their voices heard. Absolutely, that's the purpose. Why, you know, we've jumped on here tonight to try and speak to them and try to get some of that opinion. I think we've heard it loud and clear, and I'm sure those watching from afar have as well. But no Carrow Road game now until September the 20th. Whether you view that as buying them some time, or whether it's just inevitable that that's going to come at some point at that Wrexham game or not, we will see. If you were just to flash this up as well from Kim, those are the all of the details on that Liam Manning Q&A that is for tomorrow night. So I'll leave that up.
I think it's up to 25 quid now.
Absolutely. But Sam, I mean, if it's difficult, we can never know. We'll never know the opinions of a dressing room. I don't think we've ever proclaimed for that to be the case. And it's dynamic and fluid and there'll be lots of feelings. But if you were a Norwich City player in that dressing room, knowing this news, hearing this news, reading this news, how would you feel tonight?
I think I'd feel deflated. I think if I can be completely honest, if I had no connection to the club, I'd be wondering whether my future was there. Not just because obviously it's one transfer, but I think you look at the start to the season, you look at the negative feeling, and now this on top of all of it, there can't be any players in there, as much as I'm sure there, you know, there are obviously almost all of them will be completely professional. But as somebody, you know, in that situation, I don't see how any player could be going into training tomorrow, ignoring it, going, well done to the club for getting £10 million there. You know, I think they'll be going into training on Friday or whenever they next meet up. And it's hard to see anything but an extremely downbeat mood when they do that. So, yeah, I think if I was a player, I would be concerned. I would be maybe even seeking out assurances from Liam Manning and Ben Napper. And it will actually be quite interesting. I'm not sure if we'll ever find out, but it would be interesting to know if there will be any sort of briefing with the players, whether they will try to explain it. Because I think when you see this happen, and it's not just that, you know, the players will have seen the news come out and they'll be reacting to that. They'll be probably scrolling on their social media pages, seeing loads and loads and loads of negative comments from Norwich fans, worrying what the backlash is going to be like when they go out onto that pitch at Ewood Park on Saturday. And certainly just the feeling around it, I think, is a little bit more, yeah, it's difficult really to imagine what the players are going through at the moment. In some ways, it's difficult to imagine what Manning is going through, especially if this has just been thrust upon him, which I suspect isn't entirely the case, as Paddy suggested earlier. But yeah, he's got to be feeling the wrath a little bit right now after quite a negative reaction, obviously, to the last couple of games, and understandably so, given particularly the results. But yeah, after this, I don't think anyone associated with the club will be able to go into work at the moment completely unaffected by it. And that's not to, you know, I'm not trying to ham up the morals of it. Ultimately, it is football at the end of the day. But, you know, they go in every single day trying to churn out championship results. Not only was he one of their most important assets in doing that, he was also, you know, this just dents the atmosphere, I'm sure. And if they can avoid that, then well done to them. Maybe I'm completely wrong, but it does feel pretty impossible not to have that feeling bleed into Blackburn a little bit. And I think, as much as anything, Manning has quite a difficult man management task on his hands going into that game. But, you know, he's been praised for that side of his coaching, so hopefully he can produce something. But yeah, to answer your question, if I was a player reading that news tonight, I certainly wouldn't be feeling particularly excited about returning to Colney to meet up with my teammates the next time.
Paddy, final word for you tonight. I mean, just again, we've been live for 1 hour, 2 hours. I don't know if any of what we've said has been coherent or not, whether it's just the usual nonsense that we come out with. But yeah, see us home. Try and sum up what on earth has unfolded tonight, because it still feels a little bit unbelievable, doesn't it?
Well, it is, yeah. And obviously we have to reiterate as it stands, as we record this, on Wednesday evening, isn't it, boys? Yeah, he is over the border, putting the finishing touches. I've seen a few points about, well, how can he have the medical if he's injured? But that's not quite how it plays out in terms of, if you want to explain it a little bit, Connor.
Yeah, it's not I think this often gets kind of misinterpreted a little bit. A medical isn't whether someone's fit or not. It's essentially a health assessment, a risk assessment. It's basically the way I think of these things. So they have scans, they go through different parts of their body just to make sure there are no issues that long-term could prove problematic. So think of it less as, is he fit? No, therefore he can't pass a medical. That's not the case. You can pass a medical and be injured. It's more about a risk assessment and sort of weighing it up that way, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. And the fact that, you know, this is now out there, I mean, that of itself always would indicate that it's pretty close to being a done deal. And, you know, as I said earlier, I mean, this feels quite disorientating at the moment, but can you imagine if it's tomorrow, if it's the following day on the Portman Road pitch, holding up a blue scarf, wearing a blue shirt, those optics, horrendous from a Norwich point of view, from a Norwich fan base point of view, and the comments tonight, I mean, we can opine, as you say, give our ill-informed opinions all night, but the comments on here, the volume of comments, the depth of feeling, well, that tells you where most of these Norwich fans feel about this piece of news, and not in a good place, and almost maybe questioning what people who are running the club, do they actually understand, as I said earlier, you know, do they understand the fault line that runs through football in this part of the world, and that you're either yellow or green or you're blue, and Marcelino Nunes, it would appear, is going to be both. Well, he's in a very exclusive club, not a club I don't think I'd particularly want to be in. And as a result, you know, this will only really play out in terms of the short term is how can they possibly countenance this deal? But they have done, and the deal will get done, it seems. So for me, it's the what next now. This is happening. This is in train. This can't seemingly be pulled back from the brink.
Not so unless he does an Ian Crook, which, you know.
Well, possibly. Yeah. But it's what it unleashes now. It's what forces it unleashes in terms of these two squads, these two clubs, two sets of fan bases, their respective championship fortunes this season. And if it sends them spinning on completely different trajectories and Norwich are down and Ipswich are up, then this decision will go down as a pretty horrendous call for me from Norwich's hierarchy, irrespective that they can sit back and 7.5 will hit their bank account and maybe 2.5 on top in achievable, as we've been told, add-ons. Is that going to be worth if you've torpedoed your season? And as I say, they would very strongly push back that they believe, clearly, because they've agreed to this course of events, they must think their season, top six aspirations, can continue at full pace without Marcelino Nunes. That's what it cuts to the chase of this. The fact that it's Ipswich is what's unleashed this torrent of disorientation and, as I say, you know, disbelief, effectively, across the fan base, the Norwich fan base. And they must feel, irrespective of the financial element, that the football element of this stacks up as well. Time will tell.
There we go. That seems like a brilliant place to leave it. I say brilliant, maybe not so brilliant, but it seems like the apt place to leave it. Look, thank you very much to everybody, blue and white and yellow and green, who have tuned in tonight to watch the show or elsewhere. We've just surpassed 15,000, which is absolutely crazy numbers. And hopefully via the comments, hopefully through some of our discussion, and we've conveyed that strength of feeling as well, that you guys will feel. It's and I'm unprecedented, really, and I'm still a little bit shell-shocked as to how it's all unfolded. Thank you very much for watching, whether this has been Facebook, YouTube and X. If you've joined us late, you can go back to any of those channels and watch from the beginning, to watch the full show, to get on El's reaction, to listen to some of our thoughts early on. And blimey, as Paddy said, it's now about what happens from here. If the East Anglian derby is never dull, typically, it's not going to be lacking any more spark this season. Thank you very much. Good night.